puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time now for Abandoned Manitoba. Gordon Goldsborough joins us now. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
I know, it's cold.
It's brutal out there.
So what are we talking about this week?
Well, anyone who thinks that the Manitoba Historical Society is just for old folks doesn't know the full scope of what we do. We offer a range of information for young people in formats they appreciate. So today I want to highlight for all our listeners, no matter their age, the many digital resources we provide, all of them completely free.
So what do you mean by digital resources?
I mean information that you can find on the internet. These days, well, there are people out there who learn almost everything they know about the world from online sources. And we often hear that we're living in an age of disinformation where anyone can find alternative facts to support whatever worldview they already hold. As the oldest historical organization in Western Canada and the second oldest in all of Canada, the Manitoba Historical Society has, I think, earned a reputation for providing authoritative, trustworthy information. We've been publishing articles about Manitoba's history since the early 1880s, and virtually every word is available on our website, which now contains more than 32,000 fact-filled pages. And it grows every single day.
Now, who created all these digital resources?
They were created by a large group of volunteers. And I want to emphasize that, volunteers who are passionate about Manitoba's history. 20 years ago, when our website first began to expand, the internet was still, relatively new. But I recognized its potential to share information around the world 24 hours a day. So I urged the Historical Society to begin digitizing its old paper documents. Today, most heritage organizations have embraced digitization, but I'm confident we were among the first to do so. By 2008, almost everything that we had ever published was available online and fully text searchable. And that's when our work really took a new direction.
And what was that new direction?
Well, we began creating online resources that had no counterpart in the paper world, what we call born digital. There are many of them, but two stand out for me. The first is Memorable Manitobans, a collection of some 14,000 short biographies of noteworthy people from our past. It contains everyone from the very famous to the fairly obscure. The second is the Historic Sites of Manitoba. It's a database of more than 10,000 places across the province that collectively tell the story of how Manitoba came to be.
And how did Memorable Manitobans come about?
Well, as we digitized our old publications, I became curious about the people who had written them. Many of them were long deceased. I began assembling short biographies that were cross-referenced to the articles those individuals had contributed, so readers could learn about the authors behind the words. First, it was a small collection, but I knew of several books listing noteworthy Manitobans, including Jack Bumstead's impressive Dictionary of Manitoba Biography that had been published in 1999. I thought, wouldn't it be cool to have something like these books online, where we could add new information as it emerged? We could correct errors. We could connect everything together with hyperlinks. So we secured permission to use the existing printed biographies as a starting point. We digitized them, and we began adding details as our researchers uncovered them. We continue to expand and refine Memorable Manitobans almost every single day. I was working on one just last night.
And what about Historic Sites of Manitoba?
Well, in 2010, I realized that no one was systematically determining the precise locations of historic sites around the province. As a trained scientist, I had both the equipment and the technical know-how to do that, so I began measuring the latitude and longitude of sites that I visited. Now, Google Earth was in its infancy, and I saw it as a perfect way to share this information. Well, at first, I imagined documenting maybe a few dozen major sites, but I soon realized The technology imposed no limits. Well, why not include places that mattered to communities, even if they weren't officially recognized by some level of government? So that's how the project grew. Like Memorable Manitobans, the Historic Sites database is updated almost daily. New sites are added. Details are corrected or expanded. Photos are uploaded to complement the text, and cross-references are created. Recently, the federal government announced it was shutting down a national website listing historic sites across Canada, and this caused an outcry among heritage groups that relied on that database. But frankly, it didn't trouble me so much. For Manitoba, our database is every bit as comprehensive as the federal one. And that brings us to MHS Insight.
Your award-winning new app. Tell us all about it.
Right. You know, so a couple of years ago, a young Winnipeg programmer, Kyle Ticon, approached us about using our historic sites data for an app he was developing for Winnipeg. We agreed on the condition that he expand it to cover all of Manitoba, not just the city. We secured a grant to support his work, and we wanted him to be compensated somehow for his time. Over several months, we tested interim versions until the app was ready. It launched in July, and it's already been downloaded more than 6,000 times. You know, I'm convinced many more people would love MHS Insight if they only knew about it. And I'm delighted to say that just a few weeks ago, the app was getting more public exposure, having received an award from the National Trust for Canada. That's Canada's premier heritage organization, and the award was given in recognition of the app's innovation. There is truly nothing else like it anywhere in Canada. So Kyle traveled to Halifax to receive what I think is a very well-deserved honor for developing MHS Insight.
How do you think these digital resources will be of interest to younger people?
Well, I can hearken back to my experience as a university professor. I often met students who believed that all of humanity's collective knowledge existed online. And I knew that wasn't true. I've been to archives and I've seen all the things that are not online, never will be, but it was hard to convince those students otherwise. Now, I can say with confidence that much of Manitoba's history is accessible online and in a format that I think everyone, including my former students, will find engaging. MHS Insight makes it fun and as well as informative to learn about Manitoba's past.
Now, before we end today, and given that it is so freezing outside, let's think about summer and specifically some adventures that you have planned.
That's right. Longtime listeners will know that two of my favorite historic sites are Port Nelson, an abortive seaport on Hudson Bay, and York Factory on the Hayes River, where the Western Canadian fur trade began. We're going to go there. In early August, I'll be leading a trip to both places. We're going to travel by jet boat down the Nelson River. We're going to travel along the Hudson Bay coast and then up the Hayes River to York Factory. Now, I do need to finalize plans, though, very soon. In fact, next Saturday, the 31st of January, we currently have 8 spaces available, and I'm making them available on a first-come, first-served basis. So if any of our listeners have Port Nelson or York Factory on their personal bucket list, well, I think this may be the perfect opportunity. And if so, contact me by email at Gordon, G-O-R-D-O-N, at mhs.mb.ca. I'll send you details about what I think will be a trip of a lifetime.
What's up for next week, Gordon?
Well, over the past year, we have heard more than once suggestions that Canada should join the U.S. as its 51st state. Many Canadians, though, I think, point to the subtle cultural and linguistic differences that set us apart. So, for example, we have the spelling of the word honor with or without the U. Yet these differences in spelling are not as clear-cut as we sometimes imagine. So next week, we're going to look at how Canadian English has evolved in ways that set it apart, or don't, from its American counterpart.
Thanks, Gordon.
We'll talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.